The Kingdom of I, Chapter 15, Celebrity City. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. The sun was setting in a blaze of color across the sky as the group neared Celebrity City. They spotted a large sign over the entrance gates which read, "Welcome to Celebrity City." These words were followed by the town motto, "Look at me, I'm famous." There was a noisy crowd gathered outside the legendary municipality, and photographers were snapping pictures of someone the seekers could not see. As they got closer, they saw TV cameras pointed at a man standing in front of the city gates being interviewed by a reporter. "I recognize that guy," Rob said with excitement. "Who is he?" Ben asked. "He's a famous football player. We used to watch him play in Sportstown. It's off season right now, so I'm not surprised he's here. I heard that he lived in Celebrity City when he's not playing." The interview ended and the crowd began to disperse. "We need to find a place to stay overnight," Timothy said to the others. "I know the owner of a large hotel here in Celebrity City," Mr. Rich offered. "He's an old friend, and if he's around, I'm sure he'll help us get rooms for the night." "That sounds good, thanks," said Stephen. He turned to the group and said, "Let's go." They headed toward the entrance to the city. Mr. Rich talked his way past the guards by dropping the name of his childhood friend, the owner of the Stars Hotel. Within a few minutes, the seekers entered the hotel's sumptuous lobby. It was unlike any place they had stayed on the journey thus far. They sat down on plush sofas and waited for Mr. Rich to speak to the owner. Stephen frowned as he surveyed the posh decor, worried about the cost of staying at such a swanky place. In a few minutes, Mr. Rich returned to the group and interrupted his thoughts. "I spoke to my friend, and he's going to give us our hotel rooms on a complimentary basis. We were schoolmates in the City of Wealth and Luxury, so don't worry about the cost of our stay here," he said. Stephen breathed a sigh of relief. "That is wonderful news. Please thank him for us." "You can thank him yourself. He's joining us for dinner," Mr. Rich grinned. "So, if everyone will please check in at the reception desk and pick up your room keys, we can meet in the dining room in 1 hour. An hour later, the group gathered in the elegant dining room where a lavishly decorated table had been set for them. They were just getting seated when Mr. Rich walked in with the owner of the hotel. He introduced his friend, a Tim and well-tanned, middle-aged man with salt-and-pepper hair and a pleasant face. "This is my dear friend from childhood, Jim Affluent. He is our generous host while we are staying at the Stars Hotel," Mr. Rich said. Greetings and thanks rang out from the group. "Thanks, Mr. Affluent." "Please call me Jim," the man said cordially. "I have taken the liberty of ordering a smorgasbord of our finest foods for you. Your meals are being prepared now and will be served in about an hour. It will give us time to talk. I would very much like to hear about your journey and to answer any questions you may have about Celebrity City." As Mr. Affluent took a seat at the head of the table, Ray asked him, "Is Celebrity City really full of famous people or just people who wish they were famous?" Mr. Affluent laughed heartily and said, "That is a great question. All the citizens of Celebrity City have gained fame in some arena of life. It's a requirement for residency here. Some of the better-known citizens are the television and movie stars. Others are popular musicians or singers. There's also a large district of the city where professional athletes reside. There are also politicians, businessmen, and even medical doctors who relish their celebrities more than the professions which brought them renown. But all the citizens of Celebrity have one thing in common," Mr. Affluent said, lowering his voice. "They worship the idol of fame, and they crave the attention of adoring fans like an addict craves drugs." "We saw a crowd of fans outside the city gates, along with a bunch of TV reporters, trying to interview some sports star," said Ben. "That is an everyday occurrence here," said Mr. Affluent. "It would be safe to say that the residents of Celebrity City have a love-hate relationship with the celebrity makers in the media. Though they hate their piranha-like tactics, they cooperate with them to ensure a continued place in the limelight. For example, they'll appear at events where exposure to the media is guaranteed, even if they have no interest whatsoever in the event itself. Or when they're walking in a public place, They will be sure to slow down long enough for photographers to snap photos of them, while at the same time trying to appear indifferent or even irritated by the attention they are receiving. They will often agree to be interviewed on radio and television, even when they despise the interviewer, just because they want the ongoing recognition. They know the financial value of remaining popular in the public eye, and they are careful to nurture it. Being a resident of Celebrity City not only stokes their egos, it helps fill their bank accounts. What happens to a resident who is no longer famous? Do they have to move out of Celebrity City? Thomas asked. Another good question, Mr. Affluent said. If a resident's popularity wanes for any reason, the self-appointed guardians of Celebrity City are quick to expel him from the city limits. You will find most ex-citizens of Celebrity City living in Narcissus, bemoaning the fact that no one appreciates their importance anymore. Do you live here in Celebrity City? Mary asked. Mr. Affluent smiled. No, I live outside the city limits, but close enough to oversee my business here. And I still have a house in our mutual hometown of wealth and luxury, he said, nodding to Mr. Rich as he spoke. But now it's time for me to stop talking and listen, said Mr. Affluent. I am keenly interested to hear what on earth is so fascinating outside the kingdom of I that my friend Mr. Rich would leave wealth and luxury to embark on a journey in its pursuit. Mr. Rich smiled at his friend. I will be happy to share my journey with you, but as introduction, I will ask Stephen to tell his story first, since it leads into mine. The eyes of the group turned to Stephen, who began to relate his frustrations of living in the city of respectability. He explained how a dream prompted him to go in search of the kingdom of I Am. From there, each of the seekers told their part of the story until they described reaching the gates of the city of wealth and luxury. At that point, Mr. Rich was about to speak when several waiters appeared carrying trays heavily laden with a repast so artfully displayed that the seeker simply stared at it, wide-eyed, not wanting to disturb its beautiful presentation. But the aroma of the gourmet spread overcame their reluctance, and they soon began to partake of the delicious meal that Mr. Affluent had arranged for their enjoyment. After the group had more than satisfied their hunger, Mr. Affluent spoke. I hope you all have enjoyed your meal, he said as he glanced around the table at the satiated diners. But now I'm begging you to keep me in suspense no longer. He turned to Mr. Rich and implored, please continue your story. Mr. Rich smiled, and he began to speak with a tone of earnestness to his old friend. You know the lives we lived in wealth and luxury. We never lacked any material thing we desired, and our pursuit of the heights of luxury was like a game to us. Mr. Affluent nodded and smiled knowingly. Yet, as I grew older and saw how destructive unrestrained indulgence was to my own children, as well as to others around me, I became deeply troubled. I also began to realize that possessing wealth and having the ability to live a luxurious lifestyle did not satisfy my soul. In fact, I found myself constantly frustrated and increasingly suspicious that anyone who wanted to get near me just wanted my money. That led to my two divorces and total estrangement from my children. I got to the point that I was so despondent over my life that I began to contemplate suicide as the only reasonable option to end my misery. Then, like the others who have shared their stories, I too had a vivid dream. Stephen was watching Mr. Affluent as he cocked his head slightly and leaned forward at the table. His intent focus on Mr. Rich made it clear to Stephen he was trying to capture every word his friend had to say. In the dream, Mr. Rich continued, I saw a man dressed in a white robe. He called me by name and spoke to me about the concerns I had in my life. He said, you have been frustrated over what you've experienced in the city of wealth and luxury, and even though you possess what most people in the kingdom of I desire, it has not satisfied you. I told him, yes, that is exactly right. He went on to say, you will find what you are looking for in the kingdom of I Am. You must seek the king and his city. It is a city whose builder and maker is God. There you will find what will satisfy your soul. But first, you must travel to the City of Seekers, and there you will be told what you must do. For weeks, I pondered the meaning of that dream. It seemed so compelling, and yet I did not know how to act on it. Eventually, I dismissed it, assuming it was just the result of my own emotional state of depression and desperation. But then, one day, I was standing outside the gates of Wealth and Luxury when this group was passing by. I greeted them and asked them where they were headed. He motioned towards Stephen and said, "This young man answered me and used almost the same words that the man in the white robe used in my dream. He said, 'We are seekers on our way to the kingdom of I Am. We are on a journey to meet the king because we desire to live in his beautiful city, a city whose builder is God himself. Would you like to join us?' His words pierced my heart, bringing the details of that dream back to the forefront of my mind. I hesitated at first, yet I felt so drawn to embark on the journey that the man clothed in white promised would satisfy my soul. Then I figured that I had nothing to lose and everything to gain if it was true. So I joined the group, and we have had a fascinating trip so far. The most outstanding parts have been meeting Andrew the Encourager, visiting the City of Seekers, and reading the words found in the King's Book. This journey has convinced me of the reality of the kingdom of I Am and the King, the creator of the universe, and I would never turn back now." Mr. Affluent sat in stunned silence as Mr. Rich finished sharing his story. He stared at his old friend in seeming disbelief. After a few minutes, Jim Affluent spoke. "If someone had told me while we were university students that Rick Rich would turn his back on the pursuit of wealth and luxury in exchange for some spiritual experience, I would have told them they were crazy. And even as I sit here listening to you, I can hardly believe it," he said as he shook his head slowly. "But I will admit that your story is very persuasive, and it is obvious to me that you are quite sincere. If I'm perfectly honest, I too have had moments that have made me doubt and even occasionally despise the lifestyle we were trained from childhood to embrace. But I cannot say that I'm altogether dissatisfied. Our position in life has its privileges, and I can't imagine myself surrendering them. But I will be very interested to hear what happens when you find this kingdom of I Am that you are so sure exists. Do keep in touch, won't you?" he asked Mr. Rich. At that point, Mr. Affluent abruptly stood to his feet and addressed the group. "Thank you for sharing your stories. They were quite entertaining. I hope you enjoy your rest this evening, and I wish you all safe travels." He bowed politely toward Mr. Rich before walking out of the dining room without another word. Timothy leaned toward Mr. Rich and spoke quietly. "It seems like your story rocked your friend's world a bit." Mr. Rich chuckled. "So it seems, so it seems."